The Louis Armstrong Educational Foundation has created the Louis Armstrong Emergency Fund for jazz musicians to provide much-needed support to vocalists and instrumentalists in the New York metropolitan area, and the fund will award one-time grants of $1,000 to assist individual jazz musicians that live in the New York City region and work with regularity in the five boroughs. And joining us now is the president of the Louis Armstrong Educational Foundation, internationally acclaimed musician, composer, bandleader, educator, and author, Wynton Marsalis. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
First of all, we want to say our hearts go out to you for the loss of your father, and we'll talk about that in a few moments. Let's talk about the Louis Armstrong Educational Foundation. This has really been something, this coronavirus pandemic, that has wreaked havoc on the jazz community and the loss of incredible musicians and the economic impact that has been leveling. This fund can really certainly help. How did this come about so quickly, Wynton?
We were contemplating, what could we do that was in the spirit of Pops in such a devastating time? And we all decided that it would be good, even though this is a large fund for us because we're a grassroots educational organization. But we have a tradition of serving the community, and we decided it was worth this type of expenditure of Louis Armstrong's resources because we felt it was what he would do.
What can musicians do now? How can they get into this fund? I know they have to apply to louisarmstrongfoundation.org, but thinking about each and every one of those musicians, including yourself, how has this impacted you personally?
Well, we lost all ability to work. So all of our revenue, we're in this institution. So we instantly had an enormous budget gap. We lost $10 million right off the bat. And it wrecked our budget for this year, put us in a deficit position. And we were put in a position of having to figure out how to scramble and get online and save our season and still be in front of people and be viable and work together as a team. And a lot of our organization took pay cuts and sacrificed, but we're still together, all 150 or so of us. And we have to figure out how we're going to survive these next 3 months. And the end of the year is very different from even the beginning or the middle, because that's when you normally raise your most money and you do a certain volume and speed of work. But for freelance jazz musicians, which is what the Louis Armstrong Fund is for, it's more than devastating, because if you're a freelance musician and you're going from gig to gig and you're trying to survive, to lose all ability to earn money for 3 months and your bills don't stop coming is very, very, very difficult.
We certainly know that music heals. Give us your take on that, especially how jazz is impacting people's souls, especially during the coronavirus pandemic.
This epidemic is interesting because it forces us to shelter in place and be socially distant. So it puts us in closer contact to our own internal lives. And then I'm sure people are taking solace in music that they love, and they're listening to recordings and they're up online, checking things out and looking at people perform live. So I always want to encourage those who have the means and whose resources have not been absolutely depleted by this. If you know musicians or artists that you love and you know they're out here playing, find some way to donate to them and to help them, because, you know, we're put in an environment where we have to reach out to our friends and neighbors and we have to ask for help. And many times it's hard if you've worked your entire life and you're self-reliant. You don't want to prevail upon people, and you know so many people are struggling. But it's important for us to reach out and ask, and it's important for those who can give to give.
You know, even though this fund is for New York musicians, I know New Orleans, where you were born, is near and dear to your heart. They're struggling too. What do you have to say to those musicians in that area?
Well, the Jazz and Heritage Foundation has a fund that they are administering, and it will serve New Orleans musicians. Get in that fund and try to look for resources, petition the state for some resources. It's hard. You know, my father was a freelance jazz musician. So if we were stuck in this situation, there was very little money coming in anyway. It would be catastrophic. And I just think we got to keep the faith. But this is kind of a survival time. A lot of musicians are delivering groceries and stuff in New Orleans and out exposing themselves to the virus because they just don't see a way to make ends meet. So there's no way to put a happy face on this situation, but only the optimism that comes with being proactive about seeking some type of financial help. That's all we can do. You have to be able to eat in order to fight for another day. So collective action is always important.
We certainly can't put a happy face on this. How has Jazz at Lincoln Center and yourself dealt with the financial and emotional stressors?
You know, we struggle with it. We're lucky to have a board of directors that supports our mission. We did the cuts we had to do. We're looking for funding wherever we can find it. Our entire staff is engaged with our mission, getting our things up online. We have a benefit that we're doing on April 15th, and we're very active. We've stayed together as a staff, and we're dedicated to finding resources and to continue to work on behalf of Jazz and fulfill our mission, rely on our friends and neighbors and survive this moment so that we can conduct business at a later date. But we are very focused, and we're very focused and dedicated. It's been a very uncommon level of dedication that's come out of our organization.
Before we let you go, we have to talk to you about your amazing father. What memories are you holding most dear about him this week?
You know, with me, it's not a memory. It's just overall who he was. He's such a sweethearted man. And he went out the way he was. There's a minimum of fuss and not a lot of emotional drama. He didn't run you through a lot of changes. You know, my dad used to always say, man, leave people alone. They have enough problems. We have enough problems. It was always, man, just relax, man. Give people the benefit of the doubt. Or other people can have a difference of opinion. And we were joking just 2 days before he went in the hospital. I said, man, you got to be careful. COVID is out there. It's not your time for him. He said, I don't determine when it's the time. And he said, anyway, if your loved one passed away, it's not any more tragic than anybody else's. A lot of people are going in this. We didn't know he was talking about him at that time. But, you know, he was so optimistic, and he loved so many musicians. He taught so many people, and he had such a belief in the cyclical nature of life that I can accept him passing away. And I know he didn't fight with it a certain way. You know, he had a lot of underlying health issues. He's certainly not the typical case. But this is a disease that's claiming people. And my father was very matter of fact about it.
I will never forget getting a call from a listener in New York who said, I know all about Jazz because of watching the Marsalis family on the Mr. Rogers program. That was his introduction into jazz, and that's a powerful statement about your family. Your trumpet, is it getting action every night from you?
Man, it should be getting more action, but I had so much work just to keep everything going with Jazz Lincoln Center and with the fund. We're trying to get these monies out to musicians who are struggling, out to them. So I have my hands full, you know, and we all do, because I want to also commend my members of the Louis Armstrong Educational Foundation, because they have been 100% behind whatever we can do to help musicians. And this type of grant impacts a great deal our bottom line. This is not an easy thing for us to do. We're not a large foundation.
Why did you get involved with LAEF in the first place?
Well, I love Louis Armstrong. I'm from New Orleans. I'm a trumpet player. He represents so much to anyone who plays jazz, and also the sacrifice over so many years for musicians. First, just teaching us how to play and sing the music. Then, all the years he was out here representing people in America, the fundamental principles that were compromised when he was growing up, and certainly through his life, he still believed in those and represented them. Then he left his money to the foundation for the education of younger people and musicians, some of those who teach, and for organizations who teach kids of all stripes all over the world. It's a mission that I always loved. The late Phoebe Jacobs, who was a great friend of Louis Armstrong, was the driving force behind the foundation in the early years, the first years I came in contact with it, and I loved her. So I believe very deeply and passionately in our mission, and so do we all. Everyone on the executive committee and the board love jazz and are part of the long-term history of it, and love Louis Armstrong.
Jackie Harris has done an amazing job with the foundation. You and her obviously work well together.
Yeah, I love Jackie. You know, we've worked many times. I know, of course, being from New Orleans, but we can go all the way back to Katrina and the Higher Ground Fund. Jackie and I sat up and went through hundreds, if not thousands, of applications. You know, she's a person of such integrity and such belief in the community and loves musicians. And our panel, who are going to review the applications, they are the same. They have a love of jazz. And yeah, I absolutely love Jackie and working with her. And I love working with the foundation.
You know, during this very difficult time, so many musicians are saying thank you to the Louis Armstrong Educational Foundation and thanking you, Wynton, for keeping the music alive and keeping these musicians in your hearts. Once again, our hearts go out to you and your family with the loss of your father. Thanks so much for joining us on the WBGO Journal.
Well, thank you so much. It's an honor being here. Thank you for recognizing my father. And, of course, great Louis Armstrong. My father loved Pops, and he used to always tell me, man, listen to Pops. So thank you so much.
If you would like more information about the fund or the foundation, or you want to send in an application, they can be submitted to LouisArmstrongFoundation.org.